The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Dan Prof Show. Is there anything that the government won't backstop, or at least be proposed to serve as the backstop in the wake of the COVID-19 outbreak? Now you have a proposal from a House Democrat, Carolyn Maloney, a leftist from New York, that would essentially, due to the commercial insurance industry, what Obamacare did to the health insurance industry, a Faustian bargain, if you will. Oh, by the way, there are some, including White House economic advisor Kevin Hazlitt, saying, you know, there are limitations to the blank checks we're going to write. At least that's the White House's perspective.
There's already a lot of money for state and local governments. And so what we need to do, and it's what we're doing right now, is run a big data operation, look at how they're spending the money that they've already gotten, project what the shortfall will be, and then talk about it with Democrats and Republicans. And that's where we are right now. And I think that a lot of the state requests for state and local bailouts that you're seeing out there up on the Hill are like radically, radically more money than the expected shortfall for the year. And so, you know, I think that, you know, we're analyzing the numbers right now, and the requests are kind of absurd.
Yeah, kind of absurd. So states and localities are going to have a difficult time being the backstop for businesses that have been crippled by the lockdowns. So Carolyn Maloney wants the federal government to step in, mandate that property casualty insurance companies provide pandemic insurance policies, and then backstop their losses. It's divided the insurance industry. For more on the topic, we're pleased to be joined by R.J. Lehman, Director, Finance, Insurance, and Trade, and Resident Senior Fellow with R Street, former Deputy Director of the Heartland Institute Center on Finance, Insurance, and Real Estate. R.J. Lehman, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So is it a fair characterization, mine, comparing the Maloney plan to commercial insurance, what Obamacare did to health insurance?
I'm not sure if that's quite how I would put it, but I don't think that the Maloney plan is the right approach to this issue, for sure.
And why is that?
Well, I don't think that this risk that we're talking about, the risk of having to shut down because of a pandemic, really lends itself to an insurance solution at all. If you think about how insurance works, it's risk-based, ideally. So you get charged more in premiums if you're likely to make a claim. And you're going to have a deductible to discourage you from making a claim, and you're going to have a copay so that you control your costs. But in the situation we're talking about here, we have businesses who, for very good reasons, would rather not shut down, right? Obviously, in many cases, this is a death sentence that they have to shut down, but there's a public health argument that they should shut down. So if you take those two things and overlay them on each other, you want to provide an encouragement for them to shut down, and that's the opposite of what a risk-based insurance policy would do, right? If you're a restaurant and you know you're going to be ordered to shut down in the event of a viral pandemic and you're going to be charged higher rates, you're probably just not going to buy the coverage. That's not how I would structure this. I do think that this is a place where the government probably, I am very skeptical of 99% of all government insurance programs. I don't think that this is a risk that the private market is going to write privately, and that the government probably, especially when the government is the one ordering the shutdowns, the government does bear some responsibility for helping to make those businesses, if not whole, at least keep them afloat.
Right. And so the plan, as I understand it from reading about it, Treasury Department steps in to pay once the industry, the insurance industry, has suffered a $250 million hit. The government would then be able to help cover up to $750 million in losses per year.
Actually, three quarters of a trillion dollars.
$750 billion. Yeah, $750 billion. $750 billion each year. Right now, during the pandemic, some estimates saying the shutdown costing 5% of GDP monthly, which is about $1 trillion. So, who gets left holding the bag, or is it both insurance companies as well as taxpayers?
The insurance companies under the Maloney plan would theoretically only hold the $250 million in terms of claims payments. There's another part of it that the Maloney plan doesn't talk about very much, but you have to bear in mind, if the insurers are the ones that are administering this program, back during Katrina, the claims adjuster capacity of the entire United States was devoted to just dealing with claims from Katrina. In this sort of situation where you have businesses across the entire country, and you're going to need claims adjusters across the entire country servicing them, the insurance industry just doesn't have that capacity. They couldn't possibly have enough people on hand. It's just not even feasible that they could administer this.
So why is the proposal receiving support from the National Retail Federation, for example?
Sure. The retailers, I think, and a lot of businesses are looking for an answer, and this was the first thing that came up. I don't know that I can't speak for them, but I don't know that this is the only structure that they would look at. And there are a few voices in the insurance industry who like the Maloney plan, but they are definitely in the minority.
She argues, like the Terrorism Risk Insurance Act, the federal government serves as a backstop to maintain marketplace stability and share the burden. So the program for insurers would be voluntary, though they'd be required to offer pandemic protection if they participate, and then it's a shared burden. What's wrong with that?
We don't know how TRIA, the terrorism plan, would actually work in practice because it's never been used. It's still basically very theoretical. In the case of the terrorism program, the industry actually retained a lot of the risk. $250 million is not very much. There's a small hurricane will certainly do $1 billion of damage. So the industry is not actually keeping much of the risk. It doesn't really have the capacity to administer the program. It's not, insurance is not designed in a way that maximizes the public health benefits. I just don't think the insurance industry really should be involved in this, except maybe to market it.
Well, right. And frankly, this is, even if it was enacted in legislative form, you know, you're still relying on a federal government that, just increased its debt load by 50% in the last 60 days. So, you know, the tendency to rewrite the rules after the fact is a real risk as well. And of course, these are individuals in the business of assessing risk.
Yes. Yeah, I think it would be great to find a private sector solution. And I am always inclined to look for a private sector solution. The size of this kind of risk, we have the whole world basically shut down, about 50% of global GDP shut down overnight. The insurance industry cannot possibly be big enough to substitute half of the global economy. It just wouldn't ever happen.
He is R.J. Lehman, Director of Finance, Insurance, and Trade, and resident senior fellow with R Street, former deputy director of the Heartland Institute Center on Finance, Insurance, and Real Estate. R.J., thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
Listen, the more you'll know. This is the Dan Prof Show.